بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ما بعد. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال: إنكم لتعملون أعمالا هي أدق في أعينكم من الشعر، كنا نعدها على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الموبقات. رواه البخاري. وقال: الموبقات المهلكات. Continuing with the narration of Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه, which we've been discussing the last one or two days. Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه addressing those people who have become negligent with regards to amal, he makes an observation. As I mentioned, Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه was amongst those Sahaba who Allah Ta'ala had blessed with a very, very long life. This was part of the barakah and the blessing of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his haqq. So ulama say he lived for almost 90 to 100 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he observes with regards to retrogression in deen that had occurred in the people already in that time. That he says, you people are doing certain actions, in other words, certain sins, certain transgressions have become a part of your lives, which you consider more insignificant than a strand of hair. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to consider these things to be amongst those things which will cause our destruction. Now with regards to this, there are a few things, a few actions ulama-i kiram have drawn our attention to, that perhaps would be referred to by Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Things which Sahaba-i Kiram very, very strictly adhered to, that unfortunately nowadays gradually has come out of the lives of the Ummah, the importance of it. And many of us don't even consider it to be a wrong. Amongst those things, first and foremost, ulama mentioned is adherence to Salah wa Jamaat. We find that this was something that was so strictly adhered to in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is said even the munafiq, even a person who was a munafiq, would make his Isha and his Fajr Salah wa Jamaat. If we look at our condition today, Jummah, the masjid is full. The Asr Salah, immediately after the Jummah Salah, one or two safs we find in many, many masajids. Fajr Salah, just a few safs. And what is even more problematic is that this absence from Salah wa Jamaat is not even considered to be a sin, it's not even considered to be something wrong. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have not sent you as anything but mercy for every alam. Yet, despite being rahmatul lil alameen, despite being mercy from head to toe, we find this narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ فِتْيَتِي فَيَجْمَعُوا لِي حُزْمًا مِّنْ حَطَبْ ثُمَّ آتِي قَوْمًا يُصَلُّونَ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ فَأُحَرِّقُهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was so hurt and so upset by his ummah not presenting themselves for salah wa jamaat. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I wanted to put someone else on the musalla of Masjid al-Nabawi at the time of salah. And then I would order the youngsters of Medina to gather firewood for me. And I would go to the homes of those people who are not making salah, but who are making salah in their homes and are not making salah with jamaat. And I would burn down those homes. And we find in the riwayat, فَوْحَرِّقُهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. Those who are familiar with Arabic, look at the severity of this warning. What does فَوْحَرِّقُهَا عَلَيْهِمْ mean? It carries the underlying intonation or meaning that I would burn those homes down with those people inside those homes. And yet he was mercy. This is the extent to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the importance of salah wa jamaat. And what has happened now, because salah wa jamaat has come out of our lives, gradually salah itself has come out of the lives of people. Very often you'll hear people, person making a statement, that, you know what, mashallah, me, I practice upon deen, only fajr salah I don't make. Or I practice upon deen, only leave this salah out. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the munafiq would be there for five times salah wa jamaat. A munafiq, person who doesn't have iman. And today a mu'min says, that I'm practicing upon deen, but I'm not making certain salah. So we find that this is one thing which ulama say is amongst those actions which are referred to by Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That you people are committing something, absence of salah with jamaat. You think it is more insignificant than a strand of hair. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, we consider this to be something of the greatly destructive things. Another practice ulama ikram mentioned is what we call ghish or ghash. What this refers to is deception in business. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw someone practicing a form of deception in trade or in earning his livelihood, he said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." He said, a person who deceives, he is not from amongst us. He is not from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our mindset today has become such that the more deceptive a person is, we think he is a more astute businessman. Yunus bin Ubayd rahmatullah alayhi, a very pious person, he was also a trader. He used to sell silk, or bales of silk, or bales of material. Now he had two qualities, one was the pure one, and one was slightly impure. He was selling the pure one for 400 dirhams, and the impure one for 200 dirhams. So he needed to go somewhere, so he left his son in charge of his business. And he went out somewhere. As he was returning, somebody was leaving the marketplace carrying in his hand a bale of the impure silk. So he asked this person, "Where did you buy it from?" So this person mentioned his own shop. So he asked him, "What did you pay for this thing?" So he said, "I paid 400 dirhams for it." So he said, "How come you paid so much?" He says, "No, I did a good deal. Because where I'm going, I can get 500 dirham and make 100 dirham profit on this." So he said, "I will show you that you can make 300 dirham profit. You paid 400, you should have paid 200. He took him back to his shop and he reimbursed him the other 200. Then he turned to his son and he asked his son that you sold this man the inferior cloth for the price of the high quality one. Did you do this intentionally or was it out of negligence?" So the son responded and he said, "Willing buyer, willing seller, what's the difference?" He became very, very upset. And he said that we are mu'min, we are people of iman, we do not deceive. This thing was priced 200, you should not have given it for 400, you should have sold it for 200. Now, this may seem something very, very simple, but this was the mindset in those times. That a mu'min is not someone that deceives. Rasulullah said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." He who deceives is not from us. Our thinking, coming back to what we were saying earlier, is if you deceive someone, they say, "Mashallah, astute businessman. Mashallah, how good he is. Mashallah, how intelligent he is." Rasulullah said, "Thalathatun la yukallimuhumullah, wa la yanzuru ilayhim yawm al-qiyamah, wa la yuzakkihim, wa lahum adhabun aleem." Time is limited, but briefly, what's the translation of this? He said there are three categories of people. Listen carefully, my respected brothers. He said there are three categories of people. Allah will not speak to them on the day of judgment. Allah will not look at them with mercy on the day of judgment. And they will face a terrible punishment. Sahaba heard this. Abu Zar radiallahu anhu fell down on his knees. And he said, "Khabu wa khasiru. Khabu wa khasiru. Khabu wa khasiru. Ya Rasulullah, they are barbad. What hope can there be for them? Allah won't speak to them. Allah won't look at them with mercy. They will face a terrible punishment." What was it that carries such a severe warning? One of the three categories. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Al-munfiq sil'atahu bin halifil kadhib." A person who will use deception to sell his goods. A person who will use deception to earn his livelihood. Such is the severity of the warning. Today we think it's an astute businessman. These are amongst those things Anas radiallahu anhu said, you think it is more insignificant than a strand of hair. Yet in the time of Rasulullah we consider this to be amongst those things which will destroy us. The third thing, and on this I will terminate today, which has become very, very common amongst us. Yet it is something that is so destructive. How destructive? Nabi sallallahu alayhi said, "Ayatul munafiq." Ayatul munafiq. This is a sign of a munafiq. Someone came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on one occasion. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, is it possible for a person to have iman and be a miser?" He said, "Yes, it is possible. It's not good, but it's possible. Is it possible for a person to have iman and be a coward?" He said, "It is possible." Then the question was asked, "Is it possible for a person to have iman and speak lies?" He said, "That is not possible." It's not possible that a person can have iman and be a habitual liar. The riwayat, ayatul munafiq, he said it is a sign of a munafiq. Ulama say this is one of those things that has become part of our lives, speaking lies. Analyze on one day, we talk about white lies, or we talk about lies, speaking lies or being deceitful has become a way of life with us. We don't even realize it. We don't even think it is wrong. But from morning till night, think how many times, sometimes with our children, sometimes with our wives, sometimes with our staff, whoever we come into contact with, we think nothing about speaking lies. Yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this is a sign of nifaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to abstain from these things.